What do you want? Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list?
Look.
You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
January 26, 2021. This is Ben, the Breaker of Banksters on the Prepper Broadcasting Network. Patriot Power Hour, episode 126, here with my co-host from a remote location, Future Dan. How you doing there, sir?
Yeah, hanging in there.
Hanging in there. Well, this is our one-year anniversary show, but as I was just saying before this, we don't really have time to celebrate or have a good time because there's so much news and crazy stuff going on that, you know, we're not going to have like a fun celebration today, even though it's pretty much 1 year we've been on PBN. So I'm stoked for that. But yeah, I'm not like in a joyous mood on the other hand either.
Not a 1 year anniversary of Patriot Power Hour by any means, but 1 year since we were invited by Mr. Walton to the network, which we're grateful for. Thank you, James.
Thank you, James. Absolutely. Intrepid Commander. So I think that was January 21st, 2020 was our first show. And our second show specifically was titled The Wuhan Virus. So we pretty much came in right when all that was picking up about the time the first case hit the U.S. We were talking about it beforehand, of course, like you said before, PBN. But on one hand, it's been like one of the longest years. On the other hand, it was actually seems like it's flown by. But we hit about 45 episodes in that year. So about 45 hours. Not bad. Some good content. Hoping to hit that or even more this year. And so we're putting in that work. We're back here again on another Tuesday Night Live, Future Dan.
What's the topics that are jumping out at you tonight, Matt?
Well, I'm going to leave a lot of the Future Danger news blitz, which we're going to hit on later. I am going to put some of that to the side. Don't want to spoil the lead or whatnot. I mean, it's been the first year or first week or so of the Biden presidency. So we've seen some of the quick executive orders and reversals, kind of the first action. You know, they talk about the first 100 days, but it's been about 6 days or so right now, a little more than 6 days. And so we've seen several things reversed as well as new either legislation or initiatives put forth, as well as in the Congress, right, as well. So $15 minimum wage, more climate action, more potential stimulus, et cetera, et cetera. So some of this will be in the news blitz, but I didn't know if you had anything in particular in that vein. I kind of really want to focus on kind of this first week. What have you noticed, if anything? Like what trends, maybe more concerning than you thought, or what's your take?
A lot of that's trivial, is my take. The gun control is looming, though, and we haven't seen it yet.
Yep. That attack on the Second Amendment, I mean, it's right there in your face. Oh, man. Well, one thing I've been noticing is the Chinese connection, and we do have a big, fat article on it on Future Danger, and again won't go straight into that, but everywhere you see now, it's either made in China or Chinese influence, Chinese real estate. And some folks remember Japan and how everyone was worried in the 80s, 70s, and 80s, right, that Japan was going to take over, kind of industrial takeover. And that didn't pan out. Now, Japan did become powerful in its own ways, but it ended up dying out, a lot of it because of demographics. But in my opinion, it all goes back. China's a different story is where I'm getting at. And that's because it's really the center of the despotic takeover of kind of the global corporatist banksters, as I call them. But there's many other names. We can discuss that later, maybe. But really, China is kind of that. It all revolves around there. And so I think we should just call this, as they called it, the Wuhan virus, the Chinese virus. We should just call Biden the communist in chief. What do you say?
Yeah, I got my opinions on what's going on in militarily in the Southwest Pacific right now. We'll get into that later in the show. But, you know, it's still shock for most of us how badly and blatantly that election was stolen. And we can run the risk of our podcast finding its way into the somebody's memory hole. But I think we're pretty solid on future danger. We could say the election was stolen. We could say this White House seems to clearly at least owe favors to Beijing, if not controlled by it. And I'm not afraid to do it.
Hell no, absolutely not afraid to do it. And anyone that's afraid to do it, I don't know, you're listening to the wrong podcast. Hopefully we can convert you to the right side. But I know a lot of our listeners are in that same boat. So we are preaching to the choir, but it's like, okay, we're at a turning point here. It's pretty clear the election was stolen, or at least there was massive fraud. Would it have made a difference? Yes or no? You can argue. Probably would have. Maybe not. But there was fraud. It was not investigated. That was kind of my red line. I'm like, okay, if they actually go through hearings and significant research and evidence on Capitol Hill or Supreme Court, and then they say, no, it's not enough to overturn it, that's one thing. They didn't even do that. They didn't even come close. So that, to me, is just like a default. It's like a default on a loan. That's the condition of democracy has been defaulted upon. Whether it would have affected who won, it's been defaulted upon, in my opinion. So that's how I look at it. And from here on out, it's just, I mean, I didn't have much trust in the system to start with, as you know. But, man, I think a lot of people are waking up to it, at least. It's just, but what are we going to do from here? Are people going to be scared? Or are they going to get pissed? And if they get pissed, are they going to use that energy in the right way? Or are they going to fall into some of the traps, right? Are they going to do stupid things with their energy? Or are they going to do the smart things? And that's what we try to figure out. I try to do that all day long, but, you know, it's hard to determine what the right thing to do is sometimes. But when we are here on Patriot Power Hour, that's what we try to decipher.
Right. And a lot of hosts have a lot of opinions on this network. Mike, it always comes down to me the question, what are you preparing for? Are you preparing to just, you know, bunker down and survive a tyranny? How long is that going to last for you? Until prepping is banned, right? I see mainstream conservative media talk about, you know, every once in a while elections get this way and you just gotta kind of survive them. But this mail-in ballot fraud was so massive and it passed by so easily. You know, how is there going to be a fair election? And, you know, there'll be a turning point at some point, and it could lead to violence. And I'm not sure I'm going to get on the air and say I'm against that under every circumstance. I'm not sure I want to live the rest of my life in something that is no longer a republic.
Well, that's the type of dedication we need, and hopefully it doesn't come to blows per se, but there are those lines, can't let them cross. Mine are enshrined essentially in the Bill of Rights and were given to me by God, not by government, and that is freedom of speech and freedom to defend that freedom of speech with firearms. Okay? And I can... Forced vaccines are probably on that list, not even from a violent point of view, but absolute non-compliance, right? So I will definitely not be getting the COVID vaccine. I presume many folks listening to this will not. Maybe some will or already have or were forced to for their job. I will personally, if my job said I had to get it to continue, I would quit that job. But I know a lot of people aren't able to. So I think it's really extra important these days for people to think what are absolutely non-negotiable, what is a little bit negotiable. And that's a very slippery slope, though, so you got to be careful.
Yeah, it's going to get more complicated than that, I'm afraid. And
it is.
They're not going to stop now that they perceive an advantage. It's going to just continue and be atrocious until it's not anymore. There's so many people talking about how that you know, enough Americans will wake up and reject this, that you know, the empire is now in power, and the rebellion, using the Star Wars analogy, is going to have to awaken. That's a movie. That's not life. And I don't know where it goes from here, but this year is tough. And again, I'm still in shock at how easily that mail-in fraud got
certified. I was shocked too. I thought at the 11th hour they would at least give it a cursory review, right? No.
There's 30 active cases in the court systems, and it's not going to be at the state level, certainly not going to be at congressional level. It'll be at the state level where, you know, we had a ruling this week, today, out of Virginia, that accepting mail-in ballots without, without a postmark, it was illegal. There'll be more of those. There'll be a long testament of all these illegal voting practices that, ta-da, they were illegal. But I see no mechanism to prevent it from happening again.
Exactly. Well, that type of lawlessness will also trickle down. I believe in the trickle-down theory. Well, we're going to break right now. Stick with us. We do have a couple sponsors. And, of course, on the other side, the Future Danger News Blitz. Go to futuredanger.com to follow along. Stick with us. Patriot Power Hour.
The ultimate in vehicular preparedness, Fire Edge. Universal mag carrier, holds firearms, stun guns, flashlights, tourniquets, medical supplies right in your door pocket. When you need to fire, you want a Fire Edge. Visit fireedge.org, use the promo code PBN. Save $7 off your order and get free shipping. Promo code PBN. All right? Visit fireedge.org today.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour. We're live and we are here with the January 26th, 2021 News Blitz. Again, futuredanger.com is where you can follow along. Let's quickly get started on the leftmost column. As Future Dan alluded to just before the break, Virginia Circuit Court rules state policy accepting late ballots without postmarks is illegal. and that there are also 30 active cases of election fraud still in the courts. Find more information there. Compulsory political ideology for Illinois teachers is closer to finalization. So more of the public schools, and driven by the unions, I'm sure, trying to get everybody stepping in the same line. A whole bunch of trending articles. Let's go right through them. Over half of Americans believe that journalists have and currently purposefully mislead the public. Over half of Americans believe that. YouTube has been caught removing dislikes from White House press briefing video. Medical Journal quietly retracts study claiming hydroxychloroquine, I said it, is ineffective against COVID-19. So there was a study saying it was ineffective, but that study has been retracted now. California refuses to disclose COVID-19 data used to drive lockdowns. CNN is no longer showing its death tracker, which they were hyping up all the time. Associated Press wants extremist podcasts that challenge fraudulent elections to be eliminated. Sound familiar? Moving on. Tennessee man's residence was searched by armed agents. They were trying to regain a hidden trail camera that was placed on his private land without a warrant. Biden 2020 run was backed by $145 million in dark money. That's under foreign cash. Corrupts in an election. Man charged in Capitol riot, barred from commenting about matters related to the U.S. government online. Wow. And last one on this column, U.S. military convoy rolls into Syria on the first day of new presidency. First 24 hours. Rolling back into Syria. Move on to the second column. This is the security column. Focus on national security, geopolitics, etc. As I mentioned to start the show, Biden and China, we're seeing a lot of that together. President Biden rescinds his predecessor's order banning Chinese communist involvement in the U.S. power grid. Also declassified, the FBI suspects Clinton campaign was under a, quote, unnamed foreign influence in 2016. Now, with Taiwan and China, we have several relatively low-level indicators, but any of these could explode literally and figuratively. Hopefully not, but let's go through them. Taiwan reports a large incursion by the Chinese Air Force. Taiwan reports 13 incursions by the Chinese Air Force in just one day. Later on, 15 aircraft enter Taiwan air defense zone on the second day as a U.S. Navy carrier approaches. So an entire U.S. Navy carrier group is entering the South China Sea, and the Chinese aircraft are entering the Taiwanese air defense zone, just as that's going on, a lot of saber rattling. And, of course, China decided now is a great time to conduct some military drills as well. So hopefully just posturing, but many a battle and war has begun on accidents like this. Moving on, the president gives jailbreak order for illegal aliens. And we have foreign Muslims are extremely pleased with Biden's open door policy and some of the restrictions he's taken off. And I'm sure moving convoys into Syria. Let's move on to the third column, economics. There was a massive internet outage that hit the East Coast. There's a fiber that was cut in Brooklyn. Large amount of outages. Seems like it's back up, though. American hotels experienced the worst year ever. I know this firsthand because I worked in the hospitality industry for about 6 years and still have some friends there and whatnot. So definitely really, really bad. And not just hotels, COVID lockdowns leaving a third of small businesses unable to pay rent. Meanwhile, Americans scrambling for ammo. I'm sure there's a lot of reasons for that. And this is some pretty scary numbers if you really think about it. 2.7 million homeowners are postponing their monthly mortgage bills and have been since, you know, March of last year. 2.7 million homeowners essentially have not paid their mortgage in a year. You got to remember, when they don't pay, that means someone's not getting income. You say, oh, that's just the richest of the rich. Not necessarily. Last 6 months saw the sharpest rise in U.S. poverty in half of a century. And probably the, well, there's actually a couple indicators I want to review as well in this column, but definitely the most most dangerous and highest rated article in this economic column. 900,000 Americans filed for first time jobless benefits last week, nearly up into the red zone. And I do say this almost every time I review this, but I will have to put it out there again. Remember, many, many millions of people already lost their job and haven't gotten a new one. So what's equal to 900,000 lost now on a percentage basis? You know, that would be 1.2 million back in the day. So point is, we're already hurt really bad. And each cut is deeper and deeper. So 900,000 jobless claims, pretty bad to see. And a couple of indicators real quick. Federal government debt to GDP ratio, 127%, solidly in the red zone. And but the dollar index is kind of sitting around where it was. As we've talked about, the dollar is weakened, but it's kind of hit a plateau. And so has gold, and so has the stock market, so has Bitcoin. But they're all nearing all-time highs, as well as the bond market, art, famous, you know, cars, baseball cards, all types of stuff. Question is, will it stay? We'll find out. Let's move on to the fourth column, natural news. A lot of COVID stuff in here. We'll bring future Dan back on for some of his analysis before we hit the break. 17% of the U.S. has been infected with COVID. That's about equal to the number of Americans that have a STD. 1 in 5 Americans with an STD. Vaccination news. Hank Aaron, baseball legend, you might have heard recently, died. I didn't know this until I saw it on Future Danger. It was just a few weeks after receiving a COVID vaccine. Is that the cause? Who knows? But let's keep on talking about some of this vaccination stuff, because we got 4 or 5 articles. Here we go. 12,400 Israelis test positive for coronavirus after being injected with the experimental shot. 12,400 become positive after a bad batch, I guess. During the COVID lockdown, child vaccine rates dropped. So did the number of SIDS deaths, sudden infant death syndrome. Californian dies hours after getting COVID-19 vaccine. Last week, we talked about the Miami doctor, who most people have seen, a lot more. But this is some new information. Intensive care, or excuse me, a 17-year-old is in intensive care after the second vaccine dose, so pretty much immediately thereafter. And numbers, 181 Americans killed by vaccines in 2 weeks. Now, compared to the number that died of COVID, much smaller. And the media would certainly harp on that. And the WHO, which we are now a part of again, with Ouchy Fauci at the head. But they're actually admitting, though, that some Americans are dying and having side effects. And then we do have some other natural news, not pestilence related. 7.1 earthquake in the Philippines. 7.1 earthquake near Antarctica. Another earthquake in Oregon near Mount Hood. Nothing too crazy. But how would a 8 or 9 on the Richter scale earthquake in California or the Pacific Northwest? That would be really tough right now, I would think. Insult to injury. So always got to be prepared for your regional natural disasters. And with that said, that's the Future Danger News Blitz for January 26, 2021. Let me bring Future Dan back on the air. What do you think? What really hit your interest? We got a whole half hour to hit on things, but was anything kind of top of the list for you right now?
Yeah, those incursions in Taiwanese airspace seem to me to be cover for this White House to have its media talk about, you know, China, the Chinese military threat in the South China Sea, how, you know, Biden's going to stand up to the Chinese. I mean, what's it take to fly some of those bomber packages like that? They've done it before, often, a lot of times with Trump. So, you know, it could be just a psyops to, you know, demonstrate, you know, nothing's changed. China's still a threat in that way. Give this White House some domestic political cover when the reality of the fact is that there's nothing coming of that, because China has achieved its goals in the United States in 2020, and there's no need to invade Taiwan.
Right. This is, remember what year it is, 2021. They can win with financial attacks and cyber attacks and kind of that next generation of warfare. They don't need tanks in Taipei to take over Taiwan or even subvert and take over America, apparently.
The housing market's not healthy. 2.7 million Americans who aren't paying their mortgages means something's got to give, right? Even if they, you know, started paying again, they owe all these months of forbearance.
Right.
And chances are, if they can't cover their mortgages on a monthly basis, they're not suddenly going to make up 6 to 8 months of missed payments. That's 2.7 million Americans. I'm assuming that statistic is based off of the actual borrowers. So 2.7 million borrowers who are, you know, those are distressed properties. The real estate market could easily fall out. But, you know, we got all kinds of news that isn't rating on the heat map that is probably worthy of talking about. Davos, where the billionaires are suggesting common people like you and I start to eat bugs, is going on. And, of course, something called an impeachment, which can't be an impeachment because the office holder isn't holding the office, is going on in the Senate right now. I mean, these are things that absorb a lot of people in our community.
Right.
But in and of themselves, they don't really rate on the heat map.
Right, exactly. And that's what the heat map is a unique tool. All right, folks, we are going to break. We'll be right back with the second half. Patriot Power Hour. Do stick with us. We'll be right back.
To reach out to those that want to learn and practice independence and self-reliance, we are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Patriot Power Hour. We're back with the second half, January 26, 2021 episode. Ben Breaker Banksters, my co-host, Future Dan. Future Dan, I got a funny story for you real quick. Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. So, I'm 35 years old. I grew up just in time for the Nintendo Entertainment System to hit when I was like a few years older. It already came out. Anyway, I've been a video game kid my entire life. And about 12 years ago, I entered a boxing video game tournament at GameStop. It's one of the most well-known brick-and-mortar video game stores. And I actually won a trip to Vegas. And this is when GameStop was at its peak. It was in every mall. Every kid went to it. You would bring your used games and exchange them. And that's GameStop. How they make most of their money is taking used games and reselling them, marking them up. This was back before, really, there was downloadable content. You had to get everything on a CD or a DVD or a Blu-ray, I suppose. You know, after the cartridges. So, long story short, that was really, in my mind, not just because I went to a video game tournament in Las Vegas, because sponsored by GameStop. That's part of the reason. But ever since then, I've been watching GameStop very, very, very closely. Just from a financial point of view. You know me, I study finance and companies and money, all that. And I've just been watching them deteriorate and just shed money and go through new executive teams and just pretty much falling apart. And a lot of it is the switch to online rather than brick and mortar. Kind of similar to Amazon compared to a brick and mortar store, but amplified because it's video games. And so I don't want to go too much more in detail, but I've been watching GameStop just fall apart year after year in a lot of different ways. But in the last few days, it's been the darling of Wall Street. GameStop has gone up. The stock GameStop has gone up from, oh, I had the numbers here. Now my computer's not cooperating. But let's just say about a month ago, before Christmas, just around Christmas holidays, you know, we were looking at $20, $30 a share. Today, it's up to $147 at close. And after hours trading, up to $209. So we've saw almost a doubling during the day today, a doubling yesterday, and now we're up 41% in the last 4 hours since Wall Street closed. What is going on? I'm not going to get very technical about it, but it's called margin, and it's called short squeeze. It's a short squeeze. It's a margin call, and it's also a casino groupthink. There's literally a Reddit chat room that has several hundred thousand people active in it. Essentially, the goal of this chat room is to boost GameStop's stock price. All these people getting together and saying, we're going to buy it, we're going to buy it, and we're going to boost it up. And that built all this momentum and all these algorithms in Wall Street and all that free, crazy credit is all flowing into GameStop for almost no fundamental reason, except now there's been a couple people tweeting about it. The most recent one was Elon Musk, who just had like a two-word tweet about it, drove the stock up like 30%. This is after it's tripled in like a few weeks. So it's madness. This is exactly what it is on a small scale. It's just one company with, you know, a few hundred million dollar market cap of $10 billion compared to our economy with trillions and trillions. But it's like almost the exact thing. It's called a blow off top. And it's also what happens when there's margin. Finally, before I want to kind of get your thoughts on this, what goes up comes down twice as fast. But when it's with leverage and margin like this, I mean, we could see this like drop 90% in one day, and so many people will be overexposed and lose. I mean, this is pretty much what caused the Great Depression and the crash of 1929. It's just levered even further now. So anyway, it's just kind of like a canary in a coal mine, or we've had that analogy, I guess, of the submarine getting a lot of pressure. You know, it's diving deeper and deeper, and the water pressure is building and building. and you're inside there on the bridge of the submarine, and then, boom, a nut and a bolt go flying across the room, and water spraying because there's so much pressure. Well, that pressure, all that free money they're printing, people are desperate and looking for any kind of casino. And GameStop, wow, I mean, it's incredible. It's making big news financially, too. It's really kind of like emperor no clothes, because everyone's like, this is ridiculous, what's going on? But it just keeps going up and up and up, and it's just, I know, I'm a nerd, I'm a financial nerd, and how does this apply to prepping? You know, kind of to bring it home, and I want to pass it to you. It's just, things are in a bubble. The economy is in a bubble. It's pretty much about to collapse. In my opinion, if you have some dollars to spend, use it now to buy preps. I just bought a new freezer and 60 pounds of organic ground meat to put in there, and I have a generator, okay? I don't have money in a 401k. Instead, I'm buying ground meat and preps. Use your U.S. dollar before it gets destroyed when the bubble collapses. I pass it to you, Future Dan.
Yeah, it's symptomatic of the Federal Reserve just breaking our capital markets over, well, what, a century? And we're there now. This is entirely irrational, but in a functioning market, you know, what comes up has to come down. I'm not sure that's necessarily true. They're going to just, you know, keep on pretending. So we bought some GameStop stock. Good on you, but yeah, I don't know. It's so hard to call when the collapse happens, because it's been called a lot, and it never seems to happen.
I agree. It's just each time they're having to go an order of magnitude larger with the stimulus. So, you know, they essentially, going back to 2008 and 2009, that bailout was about $800 billion, right? That lasted 10 years, you know, from 2008 to 2018, right? Thereabouts. Of course, they had zero interest rate, but that bailout lasted a long time. Well, guess what? They did about another $800 billion last March. That only lasted like 8 or 9 months. Yeah, you could blame COVID. That's part of it, but it's not the whole thing. Long story short, they're doing another bailout. I mean, they're going to need one in 4 or 5 months at this rate, and then they're going to need one 2 months later. And it's just it's reckless, and you're going to see more crazy. This is one thing I want to make sure people understand. There's a lot of this financial jargon going on. When this happens, there's inefficiencies and, of course, corruption. And real assets are destroyed and lost, and the net sum of all this is negative, okay? It's not a zero-sum game. It's a negative-sum game. So real assets will be decayed and destroyed when all these numbers go poof. It will lead to Detroit level or worse in pretty much every city when there's no more jobs left.
The hard part is, you know, anticipating something that's actionable that, you know, people who are preparing can do anything different about. Every host on this network pretty much since the election is talking about, you know, just now's the time to prep. Future Danger is designed to be a little bit more helpful than that, to anticipate, you know, when the severest of collapses will happen. But I'm kind of sitting here tonight, you know, unable to make sense of any of it, because if GameStop stock is going to do something as outrageous as that, I mean, you know, how do you anticipate anything?
Can't. That's a really big problem for people that want to make hiring decisions or investments in factories and actual real assets. They can't anticipate anything. I mean, they know in their gut that they have to actually produce something to make profit. But on the other hand, if they could just financialize their, you know, their business, they could just make this funny money and cash out before everything actually collapses. And unfortunately, too many people are taking that route. So, I don't know. I think this all is tied together, though. whether it's the election malfeasance or the malfeasance by the banksters at the top level, all the way down to the bottom level. As I said, you know, what is it? What's the old saying? A fish rots from the head down, right? So
yeah.
But on the flip side, I feel like our culture is also kind of rotted. So we're kind of reaping what we've sown over the years, being a little too lax with our moral principles. But I'll get off my soapbox.
Yeah, I think the threats facing the Republic tonight are indiscernible from 3 months from now, and it'll probably be the same stagnant kind of ominous mood 3 months from now. But it's all because at any moment, especially that bubble on Wall Street can come crashing down. And what I can't envision is what they have planned next. We all knew that the election mail-in, you know, the ballots, the because of COVID, they were going to just send the ballots out. We knew it. You know, everybody had a sense that that could go terribly wrong. No one was talking about exactly how it became so terribly wrong. Same goes for what we're seeing right now in the financial sector. And I'd like to be able to have a vision on this is the way it goes down. This is what they're going to have up their sleeves next. This is how you can counter it. And I guess I just have to work harder thinking about it, because tonight I'm numb to it, and that's not a good way to be.
Hey, I feel like that sometimes too. I remember especially around the election, around that time I was kind of numb to it, to that type of news. So that's why we're in it together, my man. I know I get fired up about this economic fraud, but I absolutely know it's the information overload and just that it shouldn't make sense. Anything you learn in a textbook about finance and capital markets would never, ever, ever, ever support what we just saw today. But it happened, and people are making millions and millions of dollars. But on the other end of that trade, people are losing millions and millions of dollars, especially those hedge funds. So as these games continue to escalate and move from stocks into entire currencies, then we're going to be seeing some trouble. And, you know, it really what it's doing, in my opinion, and this is part of the game, and we've talked about this as well, it's destroying the middle class, and it's not building the elite or the top 1%. You know, it's only tearing down the middle class and making everybody a pauper. So that's the goal. If you're not in the club, and if you're listening to this, you're probably not in the club. They want to totally destroy you financially, and that means destroy your pension, you know, make sure you don't have a well-paying job, make sure your kids don't get good education, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what it all ties down to in the end.
And is the move towards European-style social welfare states or something even worse?
Well, worst case scenario, it turns into The Matrix or Terminator, but I'm hoping that's just a movie as well, like we were talking about a little earlier. But that I mean, universal basic income is in Medicare for All are certainly the next signpost. You know, how could you refuse Medicare for All? How can you refuse a universal basic income? You're a cruel, despicable Trump supporter, aren't you? I mean, that's essentially what their logic will be. But it's going to go beyond that. That's just the next step.
Yeah, it's tough not to be, hey, diddle, diddle, you know, the sky is falling, and just, you know, running around with our heads cut off, just screaming about how bad the news is. What Patriot Power Hour this year needs to commit to is getting ahead of the game, thinking about where this actually is leading. And the trouble with that is you can, you know, lots of people anticipate, you know, how the end state and how it's all leading there. And it's easy to analyze today's news and get wrapped up in populist nonsense that isn't you know, germane to the long-term health of our country, like an impeachment that isn't an impeachment, but it's the mid-range, that mid-range on here's what they're doing and here's what those of us that stand against it have to begin saying, doing, acting like to forestall it, to stymie it, to put the brakes on it. And I guess it's just the product of this new administration coming in the way it did. We're that football defense that's giving up yards and getting pushed back right now, and is, you know, we're in a little bit of disarray.
We got hit in the mouth. Like you said, backs against the wall. Are we going to fold and let them run over us to the end zone, or are we actually going to do something about it? I still have some faith in the American Patriot. We are the Patriot Power Hour, after all. We've seen a lot worse in this country's history, I believe, and we've come back stronger, so I ain't giving up yet. Staying optimistic. I agree. We'll focus on some more solutions and options as well throughout the rest of this season. Well, guess what, guys? Going to our final break. We'll be back in that solid 7 or 8 minutes to finish out the show and make way for the next generation. We'll be right back.
You may have noticed the traditional media disguises and conceals the truth. Even when the truth is not being hidden, your attention is being misdirected. You're focused on some things to distract you from others. Future Danger assembles the key liberty, security, economic, and natural news of the day, sourcing from both mainstream and alternative media. What's more important to a prepper than knowledge? Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. FutureDanger.com.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Come on, man.
And with the local DBC news, LL Cool J with a triumphant comeback.
For a solo performer. But tonight,
don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants.
Patriot Power Hour, ready to finish out the night. It's January 26, 2021, our 1 year anniversary show. Man, we've seen a lot in the past 52 weeks or so. Of course, COVID's dominated it, as well as the election. But I think, you know, one thing I want to focus on more, as we were talking about going into the break, is not just on the headlines. And we are a news show, and I do love going through the news. And not just the analysis, which we do a really good job of analyzing the news, but projecting or more reading the situation and what you can do about it and what's kind of actionable. I think that's the word, actionable. What can we do with the analysis we perform on Patriot Power Hour? It's not easily known. If you know what you're supposed to do, then you just do it. So it is kind of a brainstorming effort here. But one thing I do when I get frustrated and I feel like there's just so much going on and I don't know what's – can't make sense of anything, whether it's politics or economic or even at work, I just get to work and actually start doing things. And you know what? I already mentioned one thing I did, but I put throwing yourself into your preps, whether that's making purchases or learning new skills or going to prepper camp, etc., which I want to go this year. I don't think I'm going to be able to make it this year, but I actually really want to go. I was talking with some of the other hosts about it the other day. But if you feel that anxiety and you're not sure what to do, sometimes just stop thinking about what to do and just do something that you know is productive and will bring it in the right direction. It might not be the silver bullet. But sometimes, instead of just getting wound up in a tizzy, just start doing some work. You know, start planting your garden. Start planting your garden. Go buy some preps. Go write down some preps. Go get the master preparedness schedule from PrepperBroadcasting.com if you're a member and start going through that. I don't know. So I know where you're coming from, Future Dan. So I just try to, if I get that frustrated, which happens a lot, then I just try to turn that into positive action, I guess.
Yeah, I'm pretty focused on not the basic level of prepping, but the, you know, maybe I'm going to coin a term here. Probably not. There's probably lots of people more expert than me that have considered this and written about it. But I'm kind of, you know, coming off the top of my head, thinking that, you know, when the society is about to descend into really bad times, there's got to be a list of things that can be still accomplished before it's too late.
Okay.
But it's not entirely reasonable to pull the trigger on some of those preps, some of those purchases, some of those movements, some of, you know, standing up certain protocols within your family and your group, because you can't you know, live at a level of alertness, right? You can't put the guard on alert, all men on the towers all the time, right? You gotta live life, but at some point you gotta be able to go into that mode where, you know, the balloons are going up, and now it's time to take everything you got to a new level of protectedness. And that's what Future Danger is really geared towards, is allowing you to see the news over the long run and getting a feeling of really how bad is it right now, right? And trying to understand, are we on the threshold of a zone of opportunity to make final preps that after that period passes, that window opens and closes, that, you know, it may be a long time before you're going to have certain things or be able to do certain things. And that window is not open right now, but boy, it sure seems like it could be at any time. And it has really since March, right?
Right.
So, and, you know, if we can give anybody advice tonight on Prepper Broadcasting Network, is vigilance. Just stay vigilant with the news and filter out the nonsense, the conservative red meat hypocrisy of CNN stories and Biden can't put a pen in his pocket type, you know, nonsense.
Right.
Useless news. But, you know, that 2.7 million homeowners unable to pay their mortgage, that's a dark cloud. Keep an eye on that stuff. That's the best I can do tonight. Tell people that.
Absolutely. I agree with essentially everything you said right there. And personally, I feel a lot of, you know, it comes in layers. And ironically, our first show on PBN, we covered the four stages of preparedness, right? Remember that episode? That was actually, I think we did a two-part episode. But regardless, I almost feel like kind of what you're talking about in terms of when to pull the trigger on some of these preps. There's somewhere maybe, you know, it's a 24-hour notice. Like, okay, get to the ATM. It's going to be closed in 24 hours or overrun. Maybe you got a chance. But there's other ones where maybe you need a week or a month or a whole year ahead of time. Maybe if one of your plans is, I'm going to move, you know, I'm going to relocate everything to my second, you know, home or your redoubt, or maybe just a piece of property in a rural area, right? It's going to take me a whole month to properly do that. Maybe you could pull it off in a week kind of as an emergency, but to do it properly, you want a whole month. So you want to make sure you kind of plan ahead. And I feel like a lot of these are already in that red zone. Meaning, at any day there could be a bank holiday and you have no access to your funds, you have no access maybe even to your savings deposit box. And maybe that won't be forever, but maybe just for a week or two, right? I feel like we're already at that level. But we're maybe not at the level where, hey, the entire system's collapsing, but you have 1 week to max out your credit cards and buy everything because everyone's going bankrupt, everything's falling apart, but they'll still take Visa. Now you can buy some things you really wanted. Maybe. So, I mean, I know exactly what you mean. Like, when do you break the glass and pull handle? There's different variations and levels of that. But I agree. That's really what future danger is, kind of to fill in not the gray area, but just the nuances of that.
Think about the bug out for a suburban prepper who has a place to go. But by doing so, you sacrifice an income. You're walking away from a job.
Right.
You know, these are momentous choices that most people can't afford to make. And, you know, I think the real key is whether, you know, you have a collusion between the government in power now and the mainstream media in a way that we've never seen before. And we could spend a whole hour, you know, bitching, complaining about, you know, the news censorship that we're enduring right now. We wouldn't be a very unique show if we spent an hour doing that. But if you see between the White House, the Congress, and this media establishment disarray, if something bad enough happens that they don't even have their story straight, they don't even know what to tell themselves, that might be the real red flag. Because between here and there, they're going to be in lockstep with a message that their followers have to hear. I'm convinced that the other side of the aisle has to have a story. They have to be told things that they have to believe. Anything that interferes with what they have to believe is now in the zone of forbidden to be spoken about. So they're not going to speak about it, and they're going to come and, you know, deplatform you, or, you know, do the parlor on you. As long as that's still kind of the modus operandi, perhaps we're not at the collapse point. But if you see that whole establishment, you know, confronted with a set of facts, even they can't come up with a story to tell themselves that everything's all okay, that's probably the time to, you know, quit the job and hit the hills.
I like it. That's it for the show, folks. We'll be back next week, Patriot Power Hour.